This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, Aaron Rodgers wants to keep control of the Jets. He's done it. And welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's always a dysfunctional mess with the Jets, Pearl, but you add Aaron Rodgers' element to this whole thing, and it's hard not to start connecting dots and trying to figure out what makes the most sense, because the head coach of the New York Jets was fired yesterday, Robert Saleh. And while nobody is putting Robert Saleh in Canton for his head coaching abilities, there's been a lot of terrible head coaches of the Jets, and none of them have ever been fired mid-season.
Well, that's all a mistake. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is probably culpable. Yes, Woody Johnson's erratic. But that being said, it's definitely a good day for the Jets fans.
They don't think of it this way, taking the temperature of the Jets. Like, why would you make this change before this big game? But I tend to be with you.
You're a Bills fan. You immediately
going to
be
a reaction.
Yeah. No, this was... Actually, if you pull back and take out the Aaron Rodgers and Woody Johnson of this all, of course, I mean, the guy has a terrible head coaching record.
Yeah.
The midseason part of 2-3 is unusual. But that being said, I do feel like this team is a tiny bit of a powder keg. Like, they could improve under the new coach.
It's possible you get that new coach bump.
Now, I know.
There's a lot of stats that will tell you that interim coaches rarely make the playoffs, though.
Right, because they're taking over teams that got fired.
That are terrible.
The head coach
right. Fired,
right.
So it's like Rich Bisaccia is one guy famously with the Raiders who ended up taking the Raiders to the playoffs. But obviously John Gruden, he was not fired because of the football side. He was fired because of those emails that were racist, misogynistic. They had to get him out of there. So you generally don't make the playoffs, but you're right. This is early enough where you might actually be able to catch this thing and maybe turn the corner and get it going in the right direction. Now, I don't think anyone would say they have a problem with Robert Saleh getting fired. Again, this is not some Mensa coaching genius on the side. This is not Vince Lombardi who just got fired. However, I do think with the why of it all, why was he fired now? And when you start thinking about Rodgers' fingerprints on this thing, because they're definitely there, then you start to wonder a little, if you're a Jets fan or if you're just a football fan, was this the right move? And here's why. The offense is the problem. And it's something that Robert Saleh had been, Perloff, famously hands-off on, to the point where he knew he had to change and he couldn't just be, oh, I'm the defensive guy and the offense does what the offense wants, because he's in danger of getting fired coming into the season. There's a report out there from Jonathan Jones, and it's been refuted a bit, but the idea that Robert Saleh was going to either fire or demote Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, and oh my gosh, that was going to happen on Tuesday, but Rodgers and the owner have a phone conversation Monday night. You don't think anyone may have gotten wind that maybe Saleh was thinking about making a change at offensive coordinator. That's Rodgers' guy. We might all think Nathaniel Hackett is terrible as an offensive coordinator, Pearl, but Rodgers loves this dude, and Rodgers is loyal. You're either in or out with Rodgers, and he's super loyal to Nathaniel Hackett. I think he got wind that his guy might get embarrassed or that his guy might get demoted. I think Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers definitely talked about all of this stuff on Monday. to me, it just makes the most sense that Rodgers was not happy that his guy was about to get, again, fired, demoted, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's funny, and this is just pure instinct. I don't think they talked about it.
Really?
I just think that,
you think the owner and the quarterback had a conversation the night before the head coach got fired, and they didn't talk about it?
I think Woody Johnson called Aaron Rodgers for a temperature check. I just generally don't think that these strike me as two direct people who talk about things like that openly. I feel like Woody Johnson talks around things and Aaron Rodgers talks around things. I do really think that Aaron Rodgers said, hey, they're going to, honestly, like this is a phone conversation, I assume. Yeah. I don't think they FaceTime. I don't think you want to FaceTime Woody.
Yeah, I mean, Woody Johnson not really appearing on camera that much.
Yeah, I don't think they were FaceTime. I think it was a phone conversation.
It's probably a study, though.
Probably a landline.
You think so?
Yeah, I definitely think so. So
Woody Johnson definitely has multiple studies, solariums, sitting rooms. I mean, imagine the mansion he
lives in. The man's an ambassador, Maggie.
You got to receive people in like a formal dining area.
I don't think this actually happened where Aaron Rodgers said, hey, I hear he's going to fire my guy, Nathaniel Hackett. Can you fire him? Like how, I just don't think people like that
spell it out like that.
Right, but I think that they were they talked around it. I just can't see that direct conversation. How did it happen then?
Well, I don't think you have to say, Rodgers, I don't think has to say, you better fire him. I think what he says is, I don't think he's got the ear of the team. I don't, you imply all these things. Evan Roberts on WFAN put it great yesterday. He goes, it's like a mafia hit. The mafia boss doesn't say, kill that guy. He implies it, right? So, and I think Robert Saleh was the recipient of the hit. I thought Evan put that perfectly. Because here's the thing and why I said it's about Rodgers and about control. If somebody else is going to come in and have a say or an opinion about the offense, that is something Rodgers has shown going back to Green Bay he does not want. The friction with McCarthy gets fired midseason. Perloff, Rodgers is winning MVPs with Matt LaFleur and still wanted more control of the offense and complained about it. He doesn't want someone coming in, putting in those motions, putting in that play action. He wants to control everything from the line of scrimmage. And we just saw this 8 days ago with the whole dust up about the cadence and about the audibles. And at the time, I think we all kind of like, it's just a blip, they'll get it worked out. Upon further review, I think that might have been a bigger deal. Not the two guys pushing each other on the sideline, and that got the Monday night game where Rodgers kind of, Saleh goes in for the hug and Rodgers pushes him. I don't think that meant a lot. I think the cadence thing meant a lot. You try to take Aaron Rodgers and the cadences away, what he's been so good at in his career, which is drawing defenses offsides to lead to free plays that's led to 18 touchdowns in his career. He doesn't want someone taking that away from him. I think he believes he can fix this alone, and he doesn't want someone else coming in and mucking it up.
Yeah, I that all makes sense, and I understand the history of Aaron Rodgers, but I still think it was Woody Johnson at the end of the day thought this team was going to be awesome, and it's not, and he freaked out and fired the coach.
Yeah, I mean, that could be that simple.
And also, too, I think someone is in the ear saying, hey, this team can actually win, and I agree, because if Rodgers gets his legs underneath him, then the AFC East, the entire AFC is wide open. I think Woody made his mind, and this is just, we're probably splitting hairs. I think he just wanted confirmation bias from Aaron Rodgers. Like I think he's like, well, this is how I feel. I just want to sort of feel out. And I like that mafia hit that Evan Roberts said. Like,
yeah, you know,
they don't say, they sort of say like, and still that guy's got to go. Like they didn't say, they probably talked around it in some subtle ways. I think he went to Aaron Rodgers for a temperature check, and Rodgers, I just don't see Rodgers being direct with Woody Johnson. Like that is definitely not something that those two guys do.
Well, I don't know how the actual conversation went down, but I feel like the gist of the conversation was Rodgers did not give the head coach a ringing endorsement, I think even more than that.
Yeah, but I think
questions his decision making and stuff.
Don't you think Woody wanted to do this on his own, regardless of Rodgers too? Like you could tell. I mean, let's talk about the London factor.
Oh, I think that Woody Johnson was colossally embarrassed by how they lost in London. Yeah. First of all, you lose to a quarterback that you drafted third overall several years ago and failed.
He was. Was he here for that? Yeah.
Woody? Yeah. Woody's on the team since 1999, 2000.
Oh, right. Was Woody gone for a little while?
He was gone.
But he was there for Sam Darnold?
He was gone as the ambassador for Donald Trump, and his brother, Christopher, took over. But again,
he didn't hire Joe Douglas. That's been talked about a lot.
And by the way, where's Joe Douglas? He's skating on this thing. Because here's Woody Johnson. So, but yes, Woody Johnson would have been, like, he's presiding over the fact that Sam Darnold, who they drafted.
Yeah, he drafted
Darnold. Failed.
But he's openly distanced himself from Zach Wilson. Like, he was not in the building.
Right. But again, you have that guy who comes back and beats you, right? You had your quarterback, who's the future Hall of Famer and the $40 million quarterback, and your savior got cooked by Brian Flores. Owners probably hate because he has brought this lawsuit against them.
Woody Johnson doesn't even know who the defensive coordinator of the Vikings is. He was sitting there with his fancy English people because he's been the ambassador for 4 years and thought he was going to win.
Don't forget, Flores was the head coach of the Dolphins, though, and the Jets have hired former Dolphins people. They switch personnel and head coaches. They pass them back and forth like it's the Harbaughs.
I think you're overestimating Woody Johnson's sort of hands-on approach here. I think he was sitting with a bunch of fancy people in England because he's big there. Like, that's his jam is England. And he thought this team was going to be great. This is a matter of expectations. Yeah. You know, like, for example, I have brilliantly lowered my expectations on the baseball front. I know the Philadelphia Phillies are going to lose because the only thing that really crushes you in life is having high expectations and not having them met. If you have consistently low expectations, then you're fine. So Woody Johnson.
Wow, we just learned a little more about Andrew Burlov.
Yeah.
Woody, George Costanza over there.
I was like, is this your philosophy for life?
Or
sports?
It's actually, like, expectations, I'm being dead serious, get in the way. I think people would be better off to lower their expectations. Like, generally, you just sort of want to take the action and let go. Don't expect the right outcome. You'll be a healthier person. It's very Buddhist if you think about it. But I think his expectations got in the way. I think he thought this is a Super Bowl team. I think Woody Johnson had convinced himself that, man, I got it this year. We got Aaron Rodgers is healthy. We have the best defense in the league. And I think he got all caught up in his head and is crushed by the 2-3 start. Which I think is a little silly because the Denver game was pouring rain and they missed a field goal at the end. And this game was really close. And Minnesota's a good team. Like you said, they had Brian Flores is coaching up a storm. I just think that he thought this was a Super Bowl team. So I think that had more to do with it than Rodgers protecting his guy. Listen, we weren't in the room. We have no idea.
I think it's both. Because here is Woody Johnson. Let's hear from him. Now, the owner of the Jets did not appear on camera. Only wanted to do a conference call. It's the year 2024, but sure. Were there two tin cans with a string tied together?
Send the Raven.
They want to fax us? Just send a fax. Here's Woody. He said he had to fire Robert Saleh because this is the most talented Jets team he's ever had, and he needs to give them a chance.
This is one of the most talented teams that has ever been assembled by the New York Jets. I wanted to give this team the most opportunity to win this season. I feel that we had to go in a different direction, and that's why I did that today. This change, the change that we made today, that I made, I believe will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now.
Okay, so sorry, one of the best teams the Jets have ever had. Not the best, pardon me, one of the best teams he's ever had. So you're right, the expectations are super high. The weird thing about the positivity, see, that's another thing to me that points to Rodgers. Because I think Rodgers and Saleh's relationship was the one that was a little bit dicey. If you've ever been around Robert Saleh or listened to a press conference, and if you're not a Jets fan, I don't know why the heck you would, but if you ever did try to waste your time with that, he's the most positive person. It sounds like political spin sometimes. Like, are you even watching what's going on? How are you this positive? So unless he's a totally different guy behind the scenes, the positivity part of it is not what this dude was lacking. The good coaching acumen is what this dude was lacking. And so to me, again, I think that sort of points to Rodgers too, because I don't think they had a great relationship.
You know, though, I do watch Jets
games. I think Rodgers trusted him. Sorry.
It does feel like, okay, I understand what you're saying, Robert Saleh, positivity, but didn't feel like the team was on the same page. And I think that's mostly because Rodgers.
Yeah.
I felt like there was just sort of almost like sides were pulling against each other within the same building. So maybe if this is not an excuse, but what if Aaron Rodgers gets his way here and now everyone's going to be pulling in the same direction? Because whatever was happening, the other thing too is Saleh, I know, and I think you said it, he's a defensive guy. You watch a Jets game and you're like, damn, this offense is so non-creative. Like, at a certain point, the head coach has to jump over to the other side of the ball and say, open this stuff up.
why would anyone think that's going to happen next?
I just, it has to happen. That's why you got
Jeff Ulbrich was promoted. He's the defensive coordinator.
I know, and I just have a feeling like Jeff Ulbrich knows, like, wow, whatever Saleh was doing, I have to be the opposite. I have to tell the offense, and I have to tell Nate Hackett, for what it's worth, like, you got to try something different. Like, the head coach has to get in there.
That just got somebody fired, in my opinion. I think this is a tough spot, because you talk about accountability and who's taking accountability for the team getting off to a 2-3 start. It's the offensive side that needs to take the accountability much more than the defensive side. The defensive side is holding up their end of the bargain and then some.
Right.
So how is the offense actually going to change if Rodgers is the one who's controlling it? And that's not going anywhere. I don't think all of a sudden Rodgers can say, you know what, let's change everything I've been doing for 20 years. You know, Rodgers, he talks about ego death and stuff like that. This dude's ego is out of control. When it comes to everything, and let alone football, he realizes, he's like, I'm the one who's done winning. I'm the savior of this franchise. You guys don't know jack. You don't know what you're doing. I'm here to run the offense. Like, I think you're going to run into a roadblock if you try to take the control away from Rodgers.
But explain then Rodgers' late success in Green Bay then. Then how did it all of a sudden he get on the same page with LaFleur and have two MVP seasons?
And he couldn't stop complaining about it, about how much more input he wanted on personnel, right, on offense. It's like he won those MVPs, but you would think that, you know, it always felt like there was tension there despite the fact that he was winning those MVPs.
But eventually he played ball and he started running the plays. I think that there's a lot of room for improvement with this team, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that they could be, maybe they'll just get a bump and they'll be better in the short term. I think this reinvigorates their playoff chances.
I do too.
I think they're going to respond to this new guy.
Totally.
I remember him a little bit from Hard Knocks. He seems like a guy's guy, a player's coach. I think this was actually overdue, in the sense that Saleh probably should have gotten fired in the offseason. It's not a dig at Robert Saleh. They need an offensive guy in that building. And you're right, they need somebody to control Hackett and Rodgers. They needed a big voice. Maybe it's not going to happen, but somebody's got to do something offensively. Just watch that game on Sunday morning. You're like, oh my God, Jets, just stay on the field for a few more minutes. Like, do something. And by the way, the Jets, the loss of the Broncos, their offense, like, doubled the offense of the other side. Like, the offense has not been that bad. They were way better than the Broncos in the rain. It was a fluky loss. They could easily be 4-2. I mean, easily. That last drive against the Vikings, like, their win probability came close to 50%. Like, they could have easily came down and scored there. Rodgers was getting a little hot. I don't know. I just feel like this team is a lot better than their record. And I kind of blame Saleh. I think they should have moved on in the offseason.
Totally. But you could also say they could have lost that game in Nashville. They could have lost that game to the Titans. That was not some pretty Picasso.
Wow.
You know? But it's early in the season.
Except that the Titans really don't want to win football games.
You're right. Neither do the Patriots, it looks like. So those wins don't look as good. 855-212-4227. All right, that was the big news from yesterday. And obviously it involves Aaron Rodgers. If it was just about the Jets, But Rodgers and him trying to do this late career winning a Super Bowl, you know, that's what makes this interesting. And the one part of this that we have not touched on yet, which we will, is what does this mean now for Devontae Adams? Does this change anything about a possible Jets pursuit of the Raiders All-Pro wide receiver? We'll get into that. We've got news out of Las Vegas on the quarterback front. We've got great debate today. I think it's not even hyperbole to say we've been waiting for this great debate our whole lives. This is the one we've always really wanted to do, and we're doing it today. I'm excited. That happens 8 o'clock Eastern time. If you want to weigh in on Aaron Rodgers, what you think went down with getting his head coach fired, does he have any fingerprints on this at all? 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff.
I don't want hope. Hope is killing me. My dream is to become hopeless. When you're hopeless, you don't care. Mm-hmm. And when you don't care, that indifference makes you attractive.
We were just getting deep in the break here. Yeah. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff's show. I was saying there's such a thing as systematically lower your expectations in a healthy way. That doesn't mean settle for mediocre. That means see reality for what it is. Woody Johnson probably is walking around thinking, I am sitting on a Super Bowl roster and I just need the right man to turn the key and we're going to be marching down Broadway. I just think that that's probably a ridiculous way to view the Jets if you're the owner.
Well, definitely. And that's why he fired Robert Saleh yesterday, right? He says this is one of the best Jets teams ever, which is like, no offense, guys. How big of a compliment is that? I mean, it's been over a decade. Sorry, EJ. But those teams were really good, those back-to-back AFC championship teams. But ever since then, it's been terrible. So I'd hope this is one of the best teams you've ever had. You've got Aaron Rodgers at the helm. Yeah. But, you know, you're talking about expectations. And until we really see Rodgers in the full Aaron Rodgers mode, I think that that's where the expectations maybe got really inflated. You know, you see a guy, you saw what Brady did in Tampa Bay. You're thinking, why not? Why? You saw what Peyton Manning did in Denver, although it's a little different. Why not? Matthew Stafford, why not? Why can't this be the latest iteration? And so far, you know, listen, the plans got derailed. Tore his Achilles, you know?
Like, well, here's the problem.
He's working his way back from a major injury.
There's this thought out there, at least I have it, and maybe I'm naive, that eventually Rodgers is going to recover fully from that Achilles and he's going to be himself. I think it might be next year. I actually am starting to think, like, I don't see Rodgers slowing down. I'll bet you he plays two more years because he wants one more taste of what it's like to be a healthy quarterback. This injury is defining their season right now. You could see him hobbling around. There was a viral clip of him in all fours, like, kind of crawling along in pain.
Yeah. To his credit, he stayed in the game.
Yeah, I just think that this is not what we thought. We kind of convinced ourselves that he'd be healthy this year, and he's just not.
855-212-4227. Here's Joe in California. You're on Maggie and Perloff. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, I think, I think Aaron Rodgers is done. I think the Jets, you know, I don't think they designed the offensive coordinator personnel. That's one thing Andy Reid did real good is he designed his offensive coordinator personnel. Like, he had Mike Vick. Well, Mike Vick was a whole different quarterback in Atlanta. When he got to Philadelphia, he was different.
But Joe, here's the thing, though, Joe, and I, you know, appreciate the call. Sorry, your audio is a little bit echoey, but appreciate you. Here's the thing about Rodgers and the personnel. He wanted a lot of these guys. You know, Alan Lazard, who did have a big catch, but also had tons of drops in that game in London. I mean, this is his dude. Alan Lazard wouldn't be on this team. You know, Garrett Wilson, they're not on the same page. He might have more targets last week, but they're not on the same page, Perloff, which is odd because it felt like they were back in training camp. You know, some of these guys, like, this is Rodgers who he wanted. And so who's
who
to
else
blame
besides,
there?
Who else besides Lazard?
I think maybe Mike Williams, but I don't know.
Williams? Yeah. I mean, by the way, I like
Randall Cobb last year. But
I like the Mike Williams signing. I don't understand why he's not doing more either.
Well, he was hurt all year.
Yeah, I don't understand why Garrett Wilson. That is mysterious. I thought Garrett Wilson was so good.
And like, also the same thing with Breece Hall. Anyone who plays fantasy, you have to be wondering, where's Breece Hall? The guy's averaging a yard a carry. The offensive line's not good enough.
They need to get a lead and sort of pin back their ears. I think their pass, to me, like, their defense is not that great either.
They're still top five in a lot of metrics.
Yeah, but they're not, like, wrecking it. They're top five because their offense puts, I keep saying this, their defense is going to be elite because you only have to score 19 points to beat them. I think the teams are slowing down the game. I mean, we'll see. They've also played sort of, let's see the rest of the season. I'm very curious about this Bills-Jets game. This is like this is how do they attack Josh Allen? Like, the Bills need this one desperately, too. Will Josh Allen run 20 times to try and win this game? Is Rodgers fired up by the coaching change? I understand all the drama. I just think this was a smart move for the Jets. And I know, as a fact, I know EJ on the other side, like, you have to be a little bit excited about this.
I am excited about it because at the end of the day, Robert Saleh is a bad coach, okay? His team is not, never prepared for games. In terms of game management, he's one of the worst in the NFL. So I feel like the Jets have already upgraded just by getting him out the building. I think the greater concern is Aaron Rodgers and what he is as a player. Because whenever I talked about Aaron Rodgers, I kept saying, remember, 2022 was a bad Aaron Rodgers season, one of the worst he had in years. If he's going to be 2022 Aaron Rodgers, that's just not enough for the Jets. I'm sorry, like that quarterback that played for the Green Bay Packers that was smoked by the Lions, he's walking off the field, not giving the jersey to Jameson Williams or whoever the hell was asking for his jersey. Like that guy is not good enough to win a Super Bowl. That guy's not good enough to make any noise in the AFC. Aaron Rodgers has to play better, plain and simple. He's got to get some more support from his offensive line. Offensive line doesn't play better. If Rodgers doesn't play better, this Ober thing doesn't matter much.
But EJ, here's the thing. I think Rodgers might be a little stubborn here. Because if the offense needs something different, say they do need some more motion, a little more play action, whatever, that stuff that Rodgers doesn't want to do. And it makes it one-dimensional for defenses to try to be able to stop them because they don't have to do a lot. It's not like, you know, you see some teams, and this is off the, you know, Kyle Shanahan, like, they're moving all yep. around before the snap. You don't know what's happening, yep. you know? And that's not the Jets. And that's because Rodgers wants it that way. That's not because someone, he didn't want it that way in Green Bay either.
But you know what? You know why I like this move, though? Because now it really does put the onus on Rodgers to say, okay, the guy that you wanted to scapegoat, he's gone. Okay, Robert Saleh's gone. You have no have to worry about him with Nathaniel Hackett wanting to fire him, whatever. He's out the building. So now it's really all on you. Yeah. I know we kind of said it was all on you, but we also had Saleh as a big part of this as well. He was on a massive hot seat. Now this is your show. I mean, Olbrich in the press conference today saying, hey, I'm going to consult Aaron Rodgers on how to fix the offense. He was talking about like he was the offensive coordinator for the team. God, like it was crazy. So now with Aaron Rodgers, say, okay, it's all on him. He's got to fix this. If he doesn't, then he's gone too, and yes, he now knows that. So I think there's going to be some motivation for him to maybe open his mind, which he's not afraid to do.
Right.
Open his mind to how this offense is going to get going because it's not going well right now.
Well, how quickly can you get a flight to Costa Rica? But here's the thing. Yes, Rodgers like to open his mind with ayahuasca and other things. I don't think Rodgers has shown you in the past his way or the highway. He's that dude. Whether it's personal relationships, whether it's football. In or out? Are you with me? Are you against me? And I just think that's going to rear its ugly head here too, because I think I think that's his mindset. Are you with me? And being with me means doing it the way I want to do it. You can call us about this at 855-212-4227. Mm. Andrew Bogish is in the home studios in Queens this morning. Hey, Bogues.
Queens? What am I, some kind of pauper like EJ?
Long
Come
Island.
On. I thought we were friends, man.
Yeah, he's not city folk anymore.
Long
Maggie.
Island.
No,
I'm
get
sorry.
Out of here.
They're
this.
Attached. I didn't say you're joining us from Saskatchewan. I know where you are.
Yeah, but when you were in here, I didn't go, oh, joining us from Connecticut. Here's Maggie.
I would have taken that as a compliment. I'm sorry. Long Island.
You were my one safe space on this show. Perloff barely knows my name, but now that's out the window, too.
Well, Perloff at least has gone out to see you in parts unknown.
Yeah, I guess. He thought I was in Queens. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life electronic device and pet health insurance. This was terrible news for the Dodgers, but great news for EJ.
Here's the 0-2. And Tatis sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Hernandez is back. Looking up. Gonna go! Two-run homer, Fernando Tatis Jr. And it is a 6-run second inning.
Jesse Agler on Padres radio. Fernando Tatis Jr. crushing a 2-run homer to cap a 6-run second for San Diego. Tatis is up to 3 homers in the series, one shy of the DS record. Is your lead still infinity here, EJ? This is crazy.
Well, Maggie got one because Teoscar hit a grand slam yesterday, so.
Which should count for more than one.
It doesn't.
A grand slam. It definitely doesn't. Nope. So this is our home, our postseason home run, like draft that we did, and whoever's guys hit the most home runs gets to be king for a day. EJ is bordering on a reign here that's going to be as long as the British Empire was in power because he has Tatis, and that was your third pick.
Yeah, Tatis was my third pick, and then I also had Shohei who had one. So I have 5 home runs total right now. If Stanton wants to wake up out of his coma. And maybe stretch the legs a little bit. Maybe he can hit one, too.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
A little yoga for that guy. The rest of us are failing miserably.
Well, I think I have one now, right? Mookie Betts. I've lost track. I don't even remember who I have anymore.
Yes. You have Betts. You have Machado, Bogues. And you have Aaron Judge.
I think a lot of us need the Yankees to advance. Because we have Judge, Soto.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, but
you have Lindor, Bryce Harper, and who's your third one?
Soto.
And Soto, yep.
But I think if it's a long playoffs, obviously if the Padres advance, EJ's going to win because Tatis cannot be stopped right now. But if by some miracle the Dodgers figure this out, there's a lot of baseball left.
Is there anything about this Tatis run that you can't really embrace because of the PED suspension? Because we kind of forget he was the face of baseball before Shohei really kind of became what Shohei became.
He was the face of baseball?
He was one of them.
He's on the cover
the
of MLB,
face of baseball.
On MLB the Show. Yes. Let's put respect on who Tatis was before the PED suspension. He was definitely the face of baseball.
You know, it's kind of a bummer about the Tatis thing is, let's say he's clean now for the rest of his career, which but let's just say he hasn't earned that benefit of the doubt, but let's just say he is clean. So you're telling me something that happened in the first 3 years of his career, now no longer he can ever get to the Hall of Fame? Ever? He could play for another decade and a half.
I think he's going to be the most interesting case study on what happens, because he's a Hall of Fame talent. There's no question. And if he stays healthy, which has been a problem, but if he stays healthy, he's going to be a Hall of Fame player, I feel like. So, again, are you going to take away, because of the first 3 years of his career, you're going to take away everything he does after that? If he doesn't test positive again, I don't know.
Yeah.
And didn't he do the Andy Pettit thing? Didn't he say he took stuff to get back from his injuries, which he was a dummy falling off a bike or whatever to get in the first place? So he was doing it for the good of the team. That was his story, right?
But didn't he lie about it too, saying that he had ringworm about or something like that? Saying
oh,
that
that's right. Ailment? Yeah, he's a knucklehead.
Ringworm. I don't remember that detail.
There's a lot to. Again, that's why I go back to this. Like, there's a lot about Tatis that's maybe not. You don't want to really embrace because of all that stuff that happened with the PED suspension, but he is a jaw-dropping talent.
Here's a funny thing. If you had to make up an ailment you had to try to cover for something, wouldn't you pick something a little less, you know?
No, that's what you got to do. You got to pick something gross.
So that people don't ask any more questions about
it? Yes, like ringworm or hemorrhoids. Like, nobody asked another question after you say something like that.
Yeah, you can't be like, I had this ailment. It's like, made my boobs too big. It's like, tell us more about that. You're right. It would lead to more questions.
Yeah, I mean, Maggie, if you say your prostate hurts, Maggie, you can take whatever you want.
Yeah.
No, everyone's you're fine. Backing away slowly once I start talking about my prostate. Thank you, Perloff.
It's so funny about that. I mean, you guys will admit, like, Fox or whoever, does the World Series? Fox, right?
Yeah.
They're dying to see the Dodgers get through this, right? Because we've had the Padres have success. They need I know you're saying Tatis is a big deal, but it's Shohei is the biggest game.
Oh, no, he's the biggest. And, I want to be clear. This was all before Shohei came in and really took the lead by storm. Because, I mean, I'm really literally in the article, Tatis wants the next face of baseball. Like, that was that's what we were saying about him. And,
right.
And then baseball got fortunate that they got a bigger star. But, again, it's almost like I kind of forgot how great Tatis is when he's right. And you can't pitch to him right now.
I did see the ratings are way up for this NLDS.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
On Fox.
Also, the catch that Tatis made in game one?
Profar.
No, the Profar catch. No, but Tatis made an unbelievable catch too on this crazy line drive that got smoked to the outfield.
Right,
yeah, game one. He's must see.
So they have this 6-run second inning. They don't score again. As we've already mentioned, Teoscar Hernandez hit a grand slam for LA, made it a 6-5 game. It stayed that way the rest of the night. 4 innings of near perfection from the San Diego bullpen. Robert Suarez, a 4-out save. They win 6-5. It's a 2-1 series lead. And Tatis, not surprised, they're in position to upset the Dodgers for the second time in 3 years.
Definitely no fear. I mean, we're showing out to play the best baseball we can, especially knowing the type of group that we're facing. So, man, we're just showing up and playing ball.
The Mets are feeling good, too, after downing the Phillies 7-2 in Queens for their own 2-1 series lead. Sean Manaea took a shutout into the eighth, while Pete Alonso and Jesse Winker took Aaron Nola deep. Both NL Game 4s are today, and Game 3 for the Tigers and Guardians and the Yankees and Royals. The AL series are both 1-1. So while the Jets change head coaches, the Patriots apparently changing quarterbacks. Rookie Drake May expected to start Sunday against Houston, and an MRI has reportedly confirmed an oblique injury for Derek Carr. That usually means a multi-week absence. The Minnesota Lynx are back in the WNBA Finals, and head coach Cheryl Reeve couldn't be happier.
It's just been a really special group, and the number of people that have reached out to me to tell me how much they enjoy watching them play and they do things the right way and that we're rooting for them. And so I just overwhelmingly felt proud.
Her team raced to a 21-point second quarter lead, then held off the Sun 88-77 in their fifth and deciding game in Minneapolis. The Lynx franchise has won four titles, but this is their first finals appearance in 7 years. Game one at the Liberty tomorrow night. It was opening night in the NHL. The Panthers raised their Stanley Cup banner, then outscored the Bruins 6-4. Then the Utah Hockey Club won its debut 5-2 over Chicago. Connor Bedard, 2 assists in defeat. The NCAA Division I Council approving yesterday changes to the transfer windows. The winter window is cut to 20 days starting the Monday after conference championships in football. The spring window is now 10 days in mid to late April. This applies to FBS, FCS football, plus men's and women's basketball. And former Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has a new job as of January 1st. He'll be Red Bull's head of global soccer. No actual coaching, just overseeing the strategic vision of all of their teams around the globe. Guys, back to you.
I'm telling you, this is the new job description. You know, it's like general manager of a basketball team or global what? Like, you just got to basically be the big picture idea person. And then you probably will have a job for the rest of your life. No one wants to be the day-to-day execute guy. That's us. We're coming in every day doing a show, right?
Ham and eggers. That's what we are. That's the expression.
Just hard hat, lunch pail kind of people. It's like, we should all be top of the trees. Like, hey, this is what you should do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to win a bunch of titles to get to be that. To get to that big picture thing. By the way, you guys notice ESPN is shoving a lot of Connor Bedard down our throats. That's my team, right? I get that bandwagon.
You have liked this guy quite a bit, but then you kind of veered off to get into this weird Connor McDavid love affair.
Oh, I love Connor. Well, they're almost the same guy because they have the same first name. But there was a promo for Connor Bedard last night. It was like a little music video they put together. It's exciting.
I seem to remember you saying that you're a diehard Oilers fan because you went to one game where McDavid was playing.
In Las Vegas, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
Which
With Sully.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did nothing for. You just tagged along.
Yes, but you'd heard all those things about the Las Vegas pregame show, and it lived up to the hype. Then Connor McDavid looked like a child playing his little kids in hockey. It was amazing. I think ESPN is definitely trying to push Connor Bedard as the next one. It's exciting. We're talking about Fernando Tatis. Young players who are good, we should embrace.
No doubt.
Instead of old, injured quarterbacks who got their coaches fired.
Yeah, that's
Tell me
true.
About it.
It's time for some new blood.
Yeah. Bronny? Don't worry. We'll talk about him quite a bit, too.
That's why you're not the big picture idea person. If you're going to push us, Bronny.
I'm the in-the-weeds person. Bogish, thank you for joining us from Long Island.
Oh, yeah,
thanks,
Maggie.
I always said. Coming up, more of your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. Is this a power play that he's pulling with the Jets and Robert Saleh getting fired after just 5 games? Also, a major injury that's forcing one quarterback to take a seat. Get to that next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and you. Get to Derek Carr's injury in just a moment, but Scott is in California, big-time Viking fan. Scotty taking victory laps. You're 5-0 as the Vikings head into their bye week.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love you guys. You're the best. You know, I got to stick this Viking flag somewhere. And I think last week, Professor Perloff told me that Darnold was itching to throw turnovers. Well, he threw one. They had a poor game offensively, but, you know, we won defensively across the pond against a guy like the beat Aaron Rodgers. And we're 5-0 going into the bye. And I'm going to give you Andrew's copy like Thursday or Friday when you guys go into the weekend. And this is what it's going to be, his take on when you refer to the NFC North. He's going to say something like this. It would be, the Vikings are going into their bye week with an injured Aaron Jones. Who knows if he's coming back? Because we all know the Vikings are lean at our running back. And when they come back, they're going to face the vaunted division rival, 3-1 Lions, who's going to give them their most difficult matchup this year. And you don't have to pay for that. But I just want to see what your take.
Scott, you're giving Perloff takes. You should, you know.
I'm going to write his copy for the Vikings.
You got a producer credit on the show.
Actually, I implore you guys to maintain the negative regarding the Vikings.
Wait. Scott, preseason, though, I did. You know, I'm big into the backup quarterbacks having great years of the Vikings. That's like one of my favorite stats, how guys come out of nowhere, like my guy Randall Cunningham, Jeff George, Case Keenum, Warren Moon, Vinny Testaverde. Not Vinny, but all these guys come into Minnesota in an indoor stadium and dominate. So, like, Sam Darnold, I was more bullish. I think you should be mad at Maggie. She's the one who never trusted Sam Darnold.
It's true. And I still don't. There's part of me. I'm sorry, Scott. Old habits die hard. And appreciate you waking up early. Appreciate you calling the show. Scott was a big caller when we were doing the afternoons in California, which made, you know, a little more time sense. But I still am the one who's holding out on Darnold.
Well,
you know, it's me.
The truth is, any veteran quarterback with Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson is going to be like, you're not going to be terrible in that situation. So the question is, Sam Darnold, I thought, by the way, even the Jets game, made some big throws in the at the end to seal away that win. I think he's looked great. I'm sorry, Scott, if I've been overly negative. I'm into it. I definitely think the Lions are going to win that division because they are loaded.
That I want to see Jordan Love get healthier. If he's, you know, if that knee is actually 100%, does he move around a little bit more? Does it look a little bit better on the offense for the Packers too? I guess I'm still I'm the weird one. I guess I'm maybe still the skeptic.
No. Everybody's a skeptic. I don't think Scott is right. They're underappreciated. Like, nobody's taking them seriously. You look at any power ranking column around the NFL, nobody has them too. Even though they're the second undefeated team, I think it's kind of hard to buy into Darnold. It's also hard to buy into Kevin O'Connell as a coach. Like, you know he can win regular season games, but is he tough enough to win the really big game? Because he's so smiley and positive and high-fiving players.
Like, I think it's his personality.
I think there's an aura around O'Connell where people think, oh, that's a guy who's going to win regular season games. Is he tough enough to win the big game?
Well, I mean, you got Flores now as your defensive coordinator, so that's setting a tone. Yeah. That dude is tough. I mean, this is somebody who, even Miami, when he was wildly undermanned, was the only one who could really beat his mentor in Bill Belichick.
Right, but is he ever won in the playoffs? No. I mean,
no,
that's the thing.
And O'Connell hasn't either. So they both haven't. But
Flores didn't win a Super Bowl
as a coordinator.
The Patriots, yeah.
Right, but a lot of those guys did. And
yeah, so did Joe Judge.
Nothing.
Yeah, but this is his role now, though. He's
that's
a coordinator.
True. And he's been great. I think the one thing for Minnesota that also sets up really well is the schedule. So besides the NFC North, they're just going to have a lot of wins here. The Rams are completely decimated. Indianapolis is not real. Jacksonville is teetering. Tennessee is not anywhere close to what we even thought they could be. Chicago still is with a rookie quarterback. Arizona's winnable. Atlanta's winnable. I mean, there's just a lot of W's on the schedule.
Well, I don't know. You're kind of discounting the Colts. If Jonathan Taylor's on the field, like, those are... Trust me, those games will all be like 27-25 or some weird. Those games are going to be close. Atlanta's really good.
Yeah, but if Anthony Richardson's back for the Colts, then I trust them less. If it's Flacco, all right, maybe you got something going on.
I mean, I would not discount that team. If Anthony Richardson's like, I'm not going to throw it, I'm just going to run it 10 times, then you're going to see 10 of me and 10 of Jonathan Taylor. The Colts can win some games that way. I think now in the NFL, like, you can look at anybody's schedule and be like, who are the good teams? I don't know who you're scared of.
Well, I thought the Rams were going to be better. And they've just been so hurt. It's like you're going to L.A. now. That's probably going to be a win.
Yeah.
Just a couple that I was maybe penciling in as L's for Minnesota that now I'm changing to W's. Phil is our pal in PA. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Perloff.
Perloff,
you better count your lucky stars. My mother-in-law offered to pay for the tickets that me and my best friend are going to this weekend.
Remember, Phil and his friend wanted to go see the Eagles game?
Oh, man. So, wait, you were really... I mean, this is the game you're going to?
This is the game we're going to. Well, it's...
You're going to see a W, at least.
My wife being in Texas, I'm available. You know, me and my best friend going to the game. So, that's taken care of. You don't have to worry about
it. Where are you sitting?
I am feeling extremely generous. So, you don't have to get the jersey signed. You can send it back with a nice care package, and we'll consider the bet paid off.
Nope.
And you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Phil, we are getting that jersey signed. If it's the last thing the Maggie and Perloff crew ever does.
I already have a vote of no confidence in you.
I know. I feel like I'm Robert Saleh, and I've had a bad record here as the paying off this bet. We're going to get it done. We are going to commit to getting
Perloff,
Randall Cunningham to sign this jersey and send
Phil
it back to you.
I think Phil just wants the jersey back.
Perloff, send the jersey back. It's fine. Maybe, if I feel mean later on, I'll rehash it. But for now, send the jersey back. Nice care package, Maggie Perloff stuff.
Okay.
I'll be happy and satisfied for now.
Phil, do you need this jersey by Sunday? Are you trying to wear this to the Browns game?
No, it probably doesn't fit me anymore.
Okay.
You can just send it back, you know, whenever. It's fine.
So, do you have
we
another
can sign
jersey?
A Maggie and Perloff shirt for you. That one we can get signed.
Well, I have lots of jerseys, of course. I'll probably wear Brian Dawkins' authentic game-worn jersey or whatever, but yeah.
You have a Brian Dawkins game-worn jersey?
Yeah, it's in the closet, dusty, but I'll find it.
That thing should be framed.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to wear that. I would wear the cheap one. You don't want to spill beer on a game-used jersey.
Well, maybe I'll wear the Reggie White one I was going to send you instead of the Cunningham one.
Oh man, now you're speaking pro.
Dude, you are... Yeah,
I know I'm making you drool right now, but it's okay.
Don't even say it's not the beautiful Kelly Green Reggie White, is it?
No, it's white for the Kelly Green lettering.
Oh,
Perloff's gonna need a minute.
Yeah, that is a work of art. The white Reggie White jerseys are beautiful. Phil, have fun on Sunday. Yeah. Hopefully, you'll get a W.
I will. Just send me over to EJ so I can give him my address, and then you could just send me, you know, the package, you know, whenever.
You got it, Phil. Put you on hold right now. We failed. Failed as a show.
No, we did not fail yet. No. I absolutely refuse to accept defeat here. We are getting this dumb jersey signed.
Like Robert Saleh, sometimes you just got to take the L.
We're not going to Jeff Ulbrich. We're sticking with the plan.
Maggie and Perloff.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.